Have you ever wondered how God might start a conversation with someone he was trying to get their attention? Well, how about some of these for starters? And there's something not quite right with my PowerPoint this morning. We will find out in a moment. Anyway, don't drink and drive. You're not quite ready to meet me yet. When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. Can you imagine the price of air if you had to buy it from another supplier? I was thinking of making the world in black and white. Then I thought, nah. If you think the Mona Lisa is stunning, you should look at my own masterpiece in the mirror. Don't forget your umbrella. I might water my plants today. If you miss the sunrise I made for you today, never mind, I'll make you another one tomorrow. How can you possibly be a self-made man? I specifically recall making you. I think you are the most beautiful person in the world. Okay, so I'm biased. If that's how God might get your attention in starting a conversation, how might you? Now, we have a challenge here this morning. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to look at this passage together. We're just going to see if we can sort out the PowerPoint. It's got a mind of its own this morning. Our theme these next five Sundays is, how do we become contagious Christians? You know, it's ironic that the word evangel means good news. But the word evangelism has negative connotations. The word evangelist has negative connotations. Why is that? Why, when evangel means good news, do the words associated with it, when we put it in the context of a person or a program, does it have negative connotations? You know, we sometimes equate evangelists with men in dark suits, with loud voices standing on soapboxes on street corners, haranguing passers-by who are definitely not interested. You may have experienced that kind of teaching that suggests your spiritual maturity depends on how often you witness to people. Well, if you're like me, you may have felt a failure or guilty in the past. And that's why I'm really excited about this series, Becoming a Contagious Christian, because we're going to learn an entirely different way of sharing Jesus. No matter what your background is, your personality, your temperament, it doesn't matter whether you are an extrovert or an introvert. God has wired each one of us quite uniquely. In Scripture, we find many different examples of people who shared their faith. We find different approaches to evangelism, and I'm convinced that there is at least one style, one preference in Scripture that you will say, yes, that's me. I identify with that person. My prayer is that by the end of the next 5 weeks, every member of Christ Church will be convinced of five things. And there is an outline, you may have it in front of you. Five things. First, that you are sure that you are a Christian. Secondly, that you'll be able to share your faith naturally using one or more simple tools. Thirdly, that you would have discovered your preferred style of evangelism. Fourth, that you'll be able to tell your own personal story, your own faith journey, in a few minutes because you will have memorized it. You'll have a clear outline in your mind because you've written it down and thought about it, prayed about it, refined it, in such a way that you are ready to be able to share and give an explanation of the hope that you have. And fifthly, that we will have become contagious in sharing Jesus with our friends and family. But first, let me ask a very basic question. Why become contagious Christians? Why become contagious Christians? Well, let's begin with our gospel reading. Please turn to it with me. Matthew chapter 5, and in particular, verses 13 to 15. Matthew 5, 13 to 15. How are we doing? Now, wonderful, wonderful. We're back in circulation. Right. Matthew 5, 13 to 15. I want us to discover how to become a contagious Christian through a simple formula. Now, I hated formula at school. I was no good at maths. But this one is very straightforward. Here it comes. HP plus CP plus CC equals MI. Let's see if we understand what this means. Well, we begin with MI, and MI, we'll start with a solution, and that's maximum impact. Maximum impact. Look at what Jesus says in terms of his desire, his goal, his purpose for the church. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Jesus intended his disciples to have the maximum impact possible. He told them to go into the whole world and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything he commanded them. And Jesus uses these simple analogies of salt and light to illustrate the maximum impact he intends his church to have. Where else are people going to find the truth, the light, meaning, hope, purpose, fulfillment? If it's not in Jesus, where are they going to find it? Science can satisfy your mind with answers to the question, how? Materialism can satisfy our bodies with answers to the question, what? But only Jesus can satisfy our souls and answer the deeper longing and the questions beginning with, why? Why am I here? Why do I crave meaning and significance? Why is immortality so tantalizing but elusive? The simple reason is because God has put a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every human heart, and only God can fill it. The impact Jesus wants us to have in other people's lives is nothing less than raising the dead, opening blind eyes, turning enemies into our family, rebels into saints, pagans into missionaries. Maximum impact. Now, if that's the goal, how do we get there? How do we achieve it? Well, Jesus tells us. Let's look at the front end of the formula. And it begins with HP, high potency. He says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? To have maximum impact, salt must be pure. You know, much of the salt of Jesus' day was impure. It was mixed with grit. Have you ever been on holiday on the beach and it's lunchtime and you get the sandwiches out and you stick one in your mouth and you can taste that beautiful sandwich and then you hear the crunch, crunch, crunch. And what do you do with it? Do you spit it out? Do you swallow it? It takes only a few grains of sand to ruin your lunch. It only takes a few grains of impurity to ruin our witness. That's why we're committed to excellence in all that we do as a church. We go on a lot about our 2020 vision and our five-year plan, but have you ever seen the back page? The back page is about our distinctive values. And if you look at them, you'll see the word excellence, purity, authenticity, full devotion is written large. That is what we aspire to be as a church and as individuals. How we achieve God's purposes is as important as what we seek to achieve. This is the only way to achieve high potency. There is no agency on earth that can match these values compared to a group of fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. The church is the only hope of the world. Maximum impact is achieved only through high potency. And secondly, close proximity. Jesus says, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. You know, it's no good being the purest salt in a packet or the brightest light under a bowl. To have an impact in the lives of people, to become contagious, we have to get close to them. Real close. Verse 15, Jesus says, in the same house. Most first century homes had one room. One room. People lived and slept in close proximity with their children and their animals. Surveys show over and over and over again that 4 out of every 5 people who become Christians do so through a relative or a friend. You don't believe me? Did you become a Christian through the influence of a stranger? Through reading a book? Having a dream? An evangelist? Stick your hand up, please. Hands up. Was it a stranger? A book? A dream? There's one hand over here. Okay. And some of you are too embarrassed to put your hands up to any question. I know that. Hands up if you became a Christian through a relative or a friend. Okay, you need convincing? I don't think so. Well done, thank you. Think about why you are here today. Because somebody got up close. Maximum impact is achieved through high potency, close proximity, but there's one other thing that's needed, and that is clear communication. Jesus says, verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. It is not enough to have high potency and close proximity, because unless we tell people that any good they see in us is the work of God, making us more like Jesus, we'll actually put them off. Because they'll say, I can never be like him. I can never be as good as she is. Because they will mistakenly think it's our own works that gets us to heaven. Do you see that? Our goal must be clear communication. We've got to tell them about Jesus and what Jesus has done in our place. Otherwise, they'll think that Christianity is about following rules or trying hard or being good. Jesus is saying in this passage, I have a deep passion for people outside my Father's family. Lost people matter to me, and I'm deeply concerned about how you relate to them. And the reason for that is because the most compelling argument he can present to someone on the outside is a close-up relationship of someone who is being transformed within his family. Nothing compares with a transforming life of a child of God. You know, our life is, in a sense, this sentence, I may not be as good as I should be, but I'm not what I was. I'm not what I was. See yourself as light and salt, says Jesus, among those who are at present outside the family. If we want to be contagious Christians, we need high potency, close proximity, and clear communication. And that's what this series of sermons is seeking to achieve in order that we may have maximum impact. Now let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, our other reading, and I want us to discover 3 observations about our motivation. And the first is that we must contemplate the love of Christ. If we want to be effective and fruitful, if we want to be contagious, then it begins with contemplation. And it begins with the love of Christ. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. Does Christ's love compel you? Compel you to share your faith with others? Are you convinced that he died for all? Or are there some people you feel are beyond redemption, that you cannot forgive? Then contemplate the love of Christ. He died for you. He died for all. You know, if you were the only sinner in the world, Jesus would have died for you. Does that love compel you? The more we dwell on the love of Christ, the more we realize what a stockpile of blessings we have. When we live in the awareness of all that God has given us, because he loves us, we develop a thankful spirit that becomes a generous spirit. Generous people are thankful people. Never forget the magnitude and the depth of the love of God that has turned you from being a stranger and an enemy into his adopted child and a member of his family. If we live in the praise and thankfulness of what God has done for us every day, it will overflow. We don't have to work ourselves up into an evangelistic mode. Contemplate the love of Christ until, like the Samaritan woman, you find yourself saying, "Come see a man who's told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" Contemplate the love of Christ until you can look in the unbeliever in the eye and say, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." See the emphasis? Come. Could this be the Messiah? You work it out. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Contemplate the love of Christ until, like Joshua, you can say, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you're going to serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." You see, there is no more compelling and convincing witness than a transformed life. Contemplate the love of Christ for you and let your love for him overflow and you will be contagious. Contemplate the love of Christ. Secondly, commit to live in Christ day by day. Notice verse 15. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Verse 14 uses the word compel. It means to constrain us, to hem us in, to push us out. Jesus leaves us no choice. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. The Apostle Paul in Galatians says, "I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You see, if Jesus died for us, we no longer live for ourselves. We no longer make our own choices and live independently of him. He wants to indwell in us by his Spirit, so that he shapes our decisions, our thoughts, our conversations. The love of Christ surely compels us to make him known. Contemplate the love of Christ. Commit to live in Christ day by day. Then you will indeed serve as an ambassador for Christ. Verses 19 and 20. He's committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. You know, our highest calling, our greatest privilege as Christians is to be ambassadors. Ambassadors. I met an ambassador on Wednesday. I went to a meeting in London, and this young lady came in, And she obviously didn't know where she was. I've been to this venue once or twice before. I said, the coffee's over there. And I thought that wasn't a very nice welcome. I should have gone and made it for her. And then I started chatting to her. And we exchanged business cards. And her business card said, First Secretary, Embassy of Germany. She was on the diplomatic team, a senior diplomat for the German government. We represent the kingdom of heaven on earth. You know, we've prayed, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Well, it's our privilege to bring it. It's our privilege to serve it. It's our responsibility to proclaim it. We are called to live and work to extend his kingly rule, one life, one soul, one person at a time. And all who recognize and welcome Jesus as their Lord and King are welcomed into his kingdom. So when you look at other people, what do you see? Someone who's a pain to live with? Or someone for whom Christ died? Someone who is just a prayer away from eternity? Realize that if lost people matter to God, so much that he sent Jesus to die for them, then they matter to us as well. You know, there is no greater privilege than having a person look you in the eye and say, I needed a friend. I needed someone whose life is consistent with their beliefs. You were that person. Thank you for making time for me. Thank you for taking the initiative with me. Thank you for patiently answering my questions. Thank you for putting up with me. Thank you for loving me when I wasn't very lovable. Jesus saved me, but you helped lead me to the cross where I found grace. When you hear someone say that to you, you're never the same again. The passion to reach out grows as we experience the joy of seeing other lives transformed by Jesus. You see, the church is the hope of the world. It is the only hope of the world. We are plan A in God's strategy. There is no plan B. He uses you and me as his ambassadors. He's put that message in our hearts and in our minds and in our hands. That is our calling. If you haven't got a pen with you and you haven't got the outline in front of you, make a mental list of the people closest to you, those who you live with or you work with in close proximity who have yet to respond to the good news of Jesus. Write their names down mentally or on your list and begin to pray for them. Keep that list in your Bible, and as you read your Bible daily, pray for them daily. Pray for them. And then look for an opportunity to invite them to come to our Christianity Explored course beginning 1st of May. And come next week for the second installment in our series, Becoming a Contagious Christian. This morning, our focus has been on our motivation. Next Sunday, our focus will be our mandate. We've discovered a very simple formula. HP plus CP plus CC equals MI. For maximum impact, we need high potency, close proximity, and clear communication. And from 2 Corinthians 5, we've seen that to be contagious Christians, we need to contemplate the love of Christ, commit to live in Christ, and serve as ambassadors for Christ. I long for our love for Jesus as a church to be so contagious that we start an epidemic, a spiritual epidemic, not only here in Virginia Water, but a contagion of love that goes viral and impacts our entire world for the sake of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, help me to feel as you feel, to see as you see, to love as you love. Help me to become more and more thankful for all that you have accomplished for me in Christ. As I contemplate your love for me so that I may become contagious in sharing your love with others, that they too may come to know and love you in your Son. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.